Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. This is episode number 144, recorded on May 7th, 2018. I've got my regular cast and crew here with me. We have Tim and Eric. Eric, how are you tonight?
I don't know. You always say we've got the regular cast and crew, and I'm thinking that sounds very kind of blah. Like, it's just the regular group. It's not like the exciting group, the dynamic group. It's not...
You know, okay, it's, so let's just see. We'll start regular. This again. We'll say we've got the... let's see.
Come on, this is a Star Wars show. It's all about hyperbole. Yeah. I give up.
So you're just doing okay, Eric? You're not fantastic. You're not great. You're not like over the top.
I have spent the entire day working on podcast network stuff, redoing RSS feeds, fixing stuff up on the website, trying to get a whole bunch of little tiny things checked off the list. You know, we have new intro and outro music to Echo Base, okay. As people may have just heard.
That's fun and exciting.
Yeah.
Well, not yet, because I haven't heard it.
Well, no, you two haven't heard it.
Did you get your haircut? The podcast will hear it before we did.
I did not get my haircut. No.
Oh, it looks like you did.
It's called male pattern balding.
Lou, did you get your haircut?
No, I did not. I did not. Did you?
Lou, when was the last time you used shampoo?
Probably 4 or 5 years ago.
When was Nixon in?
No, come on. Although I will say, a few weeks back, I did reach for the shampoo in the shower and I went, what am I doing?
Wow.
I had a brain fart and just didn't know what to do. I was like, whoa. Hey, wow. It happens. I'm getting older, right? You forget things.
Yeah, that's true.
So you haven't been Lobot as long as I've been Lobot then, huh?
I haven't been what?
You haven't been Lobot as long as I've been Lobot.
I don't know. How long have you been Lobot?
Oh, 10 years.
Really? Wow. Yeah. No, I definitely haven't been that long.
You know, speaking of Lobot, we need to get DJ Lobot back on the show again. DJ Elliot.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
He is.
I'd like to have him back on.
Cool guy. Makes really good music, too.
And we're not going to announce this yet, but we have two things we have to keep writing questions for that we haven't done yet.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, yes. I've got
we have
the questions.
Two special guests we want to have on here. And I've got a partial to start it, but I want people from you guys too. So
yeah, remind me the next day or two and I'll have it to you, Lou.
Awesome.
You guys realize that so far the beginning of this episode is an absolute train wreck.
This has been the worst Echo Base opening ever.
Wow. Okay. Ever. You know, I'm just going to sit back then. I'm going to grab my beer. Eric can run the rest of the show because I'm doing a horrible job. Beer?
No, wait a minute. No. We have like nothing not in the you. Show notes for this week. Why is it that I have to run the show?
It's I'm doing
every,
a bad job.
Every time so we have I'm nothing going on, you sabotage me by saying, oh, Eric's doing it this time.
See, Lou, we didn't say you're doing a bad job. We just said this was a really
bad opening. We've only had a couple of times with nothing to cover.
Yeah, but I'm the guy running the train, so if it's a bad train wreck, it's my fault.
Well,
right? No, maybe.
Eric really did like this kind of terrorist takeover of the train, and I'm just like the cook. So I...
Wait, what? What now?
You're not just a cook.
Okay, first of all, a couple episodes ago, you barred me from making analogies. So, no, you're done.
Wasn't there a Seagal movie that he was a
Under
cook
Siege,
on a train?
And it was not on a train.
Territory? Yes, yes. Yeah, that's
well, Dark
who
Territory
I am.
Was the train one, but Under Siege was the one. No.
Under Siege was Under Siege Tommy Lee Jones and Steven Seagal. He
right.
played a cook.
On the battleship, right?
Yes.
Excuse me, a chef.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Also, Star Wars.
Yeah, we
okay,
should talk
you know what? You're right.
Star
I'm taking
Wars
over.
Stuff.
I'm taking over the show.
You go
call
for
it.
It
what you want.
Yeah, so, but the train thing, though,
the
Tim,
solo
there's a train
red carpet
coming up
event
in the solo movie.
Will stream this Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for those who can't do the math on your time zones. Going to be hosted by Andy Gutierrez and Anthony Carboni. The post I saw said to head to StarWars.com for more details. I assume that's where it's going to be streaming from. It'll probably also be streaming through YouTube, through the Star Wars channel there. Have you guys watched any of the Star Wars live events previously?
Yes.
Yeah, which ones?
No, I've not.
I watched the red carpet event for Last Jedi.
Okay.
And I don't remember what else I saw, but I know that I watched that.
Okay. I think I might have seen one for The Force Awakens. I don't remember which one. I saw one of the two, and I don't remember off the top of my head which one it was. Because I remember most of the actors I saw were in both. You know, I think maybe it was... maybe it was The Last Jedi. I caught part of it. They do a pretty good job of it. You know, they've got some interesting... they get some interesting talk from the different stars on the red carpet. And, you know, it's not the Oscars. But I think for people like us, it's more relevant. And it's more fun. You kind of wish you were there on the sidelines for it. But
sure.
You know, I've got to catch up a lot on the Star Wars show. Have you guys been keeping up with it? I know a lot of people.
I have not, unfortunately.
Started
some
watching
good stuff
it.
Stuff there. I catch bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But I very rarely sit through a whole episode.
I'm just not a YouTuber that much. I'm trying to change
that.
I know.
That's the trouble.
That's the trouble. Yeah. See, you got to get them in a playlist and sit down and watch all of them back to back.
Yeah.
They do a really good job.
They really do. They're fantastic. But the thing is for me is that I see them posted on Twitter, but it's like in the middle of my day or something when it comes up and I say, oh, okay, I'll go watch that later. And then I never do. And then like once every month and a half or 2 months, I'll watch a handful of them, but I'm really never caught up.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I binge watch them from time to time. I also just watched I'm not quite done yet with season two, but I'm about halfway through season two of Forces of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Because that came out on May the 4th. And that's another one of those things where if you get it on YouTube, you just grab a playlist and sit and binge watch it all at once.
Yeah.
But all right. You guys plan on watching?
I feel really slighted because I never got introduced.
Never got introduced
by Eric. Blame Eric. He's running the train now.
Yeah.
Eric, no, you hijacked.
I didn't take it. Remember, someone accused me of being a terrorist and not taking over until after the train had already left the station. Not my fault.
What are they calling?
Well, if you take over before the train leaves the station, it's not really a hijacking because the train won't leave then.
What are they calling the train in Solo?
You
Is there
would
a particular
do that to me,
name
wouldn't you?
For that train that's that the big fight takes
I'm
place on?
I'm sure there is.
You would do that to me, right? When I don't
well,
have it.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure
that's
it's a really good name.
That's the train that we're on, and it's bad things are happening.
It's
bad things are happening.
It's the hover train. That's what
it's
they
not
call
the
it.
Hover train. No, they don't. That's crap, Eric.
That's a bad name.
That's like the
conveyance.
Like that's like finding
that's almost
a character.
As bad as a scissor punch.
They call
that's
it the
what
conveyance.
I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say, Lou. That's like naming a character Therm Scissor Punch.
That's bad. I mean, Jar Jar is not much better a name than Scissor Punch. I think it's isn't it the Conveyx?
Is it? I haven't heard.
I'd have to look it up, but I'm not going to now in protest. For Tim calling me out on Lou losing control of the show at the beginning and then calling me a terrorist over it.
This is the worst episode of
this
Echo Base ever.
Absolutely a train wreck.
You're not selling it, Tim. You're not selling it.
Moving along then, before we get on to the next thing, do either of you plan to watch the red carpet event? I mean, it's easier for us because it's Eastern time, so.
I'll probably catch at least some of it.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, this is Thursday, which is May 10th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
May the 10th be with you?
May the 10th be with you. See, wait a minute.
We'll
okay,
be
good,
recording
good.
A podcast.
I had to double check to see when Deadpool 2 comes out, because I'm like, well, wait a minute. If I have to choose 17. Between Deadpool 2...
Deadpool's next week.
Yeah. Yeah, we're safe. So some big Star Wars items are being auctioned off. And we don't normally talk that much about auctions on the show, but these are kind of big deals. They've got the lightsaber used by Obi-Wan in A New Hope.
It was the worst transition ever, going from the red carpet to thing to, oh, they're just going to auction
it off. It didn't need
a
clever transition. We're moving along.
At all,
we just dropped it and moved on because you were done. Worst show ever.
There's like no segue. Nothing.
Grumpy McGrumpy.
Not even an attempt. Now I have a dog barking in the background who's also pissed off at you because that was a crappy segue.
Aww.
Wait, we're getting segues? I love those things.
Yeah, I've with never the two tried wheels one. And like you apparently yeah, lean or something. I don't like read your mind.
Dumb helmets though. Yeah, I don't want to wear one of those.
Yeah, but we have one of those for you, Lou. With
you're
a little
bald.
Helicopter
you don't have hair
top.
To protect your head. So.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
We're either going to get a bunch of response to the show saying you guys were awesome. This was the best show ever. Or a bunch of responses saying, I'm never listening to Echo Base again.
So
I have
let
not
me give
been
people
drinking.
A little bit of behind FYI. The scenes, behind Who the is? Scenes information here. When we go to apply for a convention to get press passes or something, a lot of times they will ask for an example of some of your work and they'll say, you know, list 3 to 5 episodes that stand out as things that represent you. I think that next time when Celebration comes along and I think we're going to go for exhibitor badges this time, but if we have mm-hmm. to get press passes, I say we include this episode on the list. I think we should. Because I tell you what, if we do
New York Comic Con, I mean, they can't say no twice. So
right.
Every show could be an example, even a bad one.
If we include this and they give us passes, I mean, we know we're golden.
We'll know that they never listened to it. That's what we'll actually know.
They never actually listened to it, yeah.
All right, so watch this. Watch this transition, okay? All right, so for pieces that are in auction, normally if it actually appears in the movie, the value of the piece is a lot higher than, because a lot of times ILM or Lucasfilm, they'll make multiple props of things, especially lightsaber hilts and things like that. And so you might get one that they built but wasn't actually in the movie. And see, that transition is called screw the transition. We're just going to plow ahead regardless, and Tim can just deal with it. So this lightsaber actually appeared in A New Hope. This is Obi-Wan's lightsaber. And the cool thing in this auction, I think, is something that you don't really see very much. And I think it would be a very unique piece to have. Yes, Lou's holding up his Obi-Wan lightsaber thing on his arm. Oh, I still remember the days of him getting that tattoo done at Celebration 2017 Orlando and all of our comments about what it actually looked like. But this is a family show. So and
I kid. Of Lou on the table actually getting it
yes.
done.
it's a good tattoo.
You just celebrated your birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. So the chest, you remember to New Hope when Obi-Wan is introducing Luke to the Force and he opens up that chest and he pulls out Vader's old lightsaber, says your father and wanted you to have this yeah. when you were older. Well, that chest is one of the things that's up for auction. And I think that's really cool. That would be a really cool display piece.
Yeah. Cause I can nobody put else that would somewhere have. In a room and my wife wouldn't know it's Star Wars related.
Exactly.
So then she wouldn't yell at you for it.
Exactly.
Right. I could display it prominently in the living room.
It has kind of a rustic antique
look to
it. Oh, wait,
she just heard me. She's busted. She walked in the room.
Busted.
She's glaring at me. Yeah, okay.
But who has that? Like, people have different display cases for their lightsabers, but I think that would be something that would be really unique that nobody else would have. It hasn't been mass produced. I don't think it's been produced at all. Never have I heard of a replica of it.
Never have I ever.
Never have I ever. They've got some other things in the auction, too. They've got, I guess the big thing for this auction is a model of the second Death Star from Return of the Jedi. They're expecting it to bring in between $150,000 and $250,000.
Wow.
You must really want that Death Star for that.
Well, I mean, if you're a collectible who has, you know, excess cash.
Yeah, you know, if you're Steve Sansweet or Philip Wise or somebody like that.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. We are quickly getting to the point in the show where I'm going to turn things back over to Lou because it's a very short news week. But one of the things that we talk about with Star Wars films is the score, the orchestral score. And of course, John Williams has done most of them. He didn't do Rogue One. And he's not doing Solo. Solo's being done by composer John Powell. And he says that he's composed 5 new themes for the Solo film that we've never heard before. One of them is for Chewbacca. Chewbacca's finally getting his own musical theme. So.
Nice. I mean, he didn't get a medal, so at least he's getting a.
Yeah. You know, 10 films later, he gets a theme, but. That's okay. Apparently, a lot of people don't really know who John Powell is. We have a clip here. Ron Howard did a Twitter Q&A, and he recorded a lot of the answers via video. So we have a clip here of Ron Howard talking about John Powell and how he compares to other composers that Ron Howard's worked with.
John Powell's a great composer who I had always wanted to work with, and John Williams himself suggested that John Powell would be a great candidate to not only use the classic Star Wars themes, but also the new theme that John Williams himself wrote for Han Solo. John Powell wrote a lot of great themes, including the first ever Chewbacca theme.
Yay. Now, do you guys want to hear the Chewbacca theme?
Was it windy where Ron Howard was being interviewed or something?
He was not close to the microphone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he didn't take the Eric Blythe podcasting course.
He did not. When it comes to media production, Ron Howard really needs an education, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ron, come talk to me. I've got some free time.
He is a listener. I happen to know that.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure he is. Not to us, but I think he listens to somebody.
Yeah.
So there is a clip that was recently released. I think it's just a TV clip. I'm not sure. But it actually has the Chewbacca theme in it. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah. I'm curious.
Here we go.
Since when do you know how to fly? 190 years old? You look great.
Chewie, get in. All hell bend it.
All right, there we go. And it's spoiler free because, of course, you can't see what's going on in there. But Lou, how many times have you heard people say that to you? You're a pilot, right?
Say what to me?
That they're 190 years old.
Let me see. I'll play it again.
How do you know how to fly?
How do you know how to fly?
190 years old?
I haven't heard people say that to you. The first part, yeah. Oh,
you look great part. I guess that where it falls up, that's where it falls apart, huh?
No, I hear that a lot.
Oh, okay.
I hear that a lot.
All right.
I was just telling Lou that last night when we recorded Random Chatter. I said, Lou, you look great.
You look marvelous.
Marvelous. The hair.
That's all I've got unless you want to go through this Ron Howard Q&A. We've got the different audio clips. I don't know if there's much interesting in there that you guys want to comment on or anything, but otherwise I'm going to throw this back to Lou and he's going to be the one.
I'm going to be screwed because there's nothing here.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? Can we play like a segment and then we'll give like an MST3K style commentary and then we play another segment? Can we do that? This is how freaking unscripted we're doing things tonight. We truly have no idea what we're doing on this show tonight. It's
baffling.
It's like a train without a track.
It's like a monkey reaching behind them. Their dinner comes out of them. They throw it against the wall and whatever sticks they go with.
Yeah. No, you're not allowed to do analogies anymore. Nope.
That was just wrong, Tim.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Yeah. I realized about halfway through how wrong that was.
Not going to happen. By the way, thanks to clubjade.net for compiling a list of all these videos. And that's the website I'm stealing these from. These are all courtesy of Star Wars, the official Star Wars Twitter account. But Club Jade was nice enough to put these all in one page for us. So we'll go through some of these. And then, you know, speaking of kind of MST3K-ing things, I've got some other videos that have popped up recently that have been interesting that you guys might appreciate. So back to Ron Howard, though. This first one is Han
Wait
different
a second.
In
Hang
Solo.
On. Hang on. Time out. Oh,
what are we doing?
Speaking of MST3K-ing something.
Yes.
Aren't we doing something this coming weekend?
Yeah, but you're jumping
Patreon
ahead
folks?
In the show notes.
Oh, you have that later in the show notes?
No. But if they were in the show notes, it would be later.
It would be later,
yeah. It would be as opposed to... It's called a tease, Tim. We tease people that there's something that they need to be aware of later in the show, and then they'll have to listen through the rest of the Conveyx wreck And then they'll get to hear what the...
I can't work under these conditions.
I know.
It's not the conveyance.
And that's half the fun. Is Han different in Solo than he is in the original trilogy?
Yeah, he's younger.
The spirit of young Han Solo is not that different than the Solo that we meet in the later movies. But that's what our movie is all about. That's what Larry Kasdan and his son John so brilliantly wrote about, which is the events, the relationships, the action, the adventure that he goes through that helps this young, brash guy, desperate for his freedom, begin to become the Han Solo we know in later movies.
Okay, so you heard it first. He mentioned young Han Solo. So you remember young Indiana Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
he did.
This
yeah.
is apparently
so
going
to
be the beginning of a young
me
Han Solo series.
That a movie that's going to be before A New Hope is going to have a younger character in it?
Well, see, now you're just getting all technical.
Tim, getting into spoilers.
Yeah, the whole timey-wimey thing. We don't do that on this show. That's a Doctor Who thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't do quantum physics and time travel. And
What else does Ron have for us?
Well, how was it to film scenes in the Millennium Falcon?
There was so much that was magical about directing
Harry Potter.
A Star Wars movie. I've been a fan, my entire adult life. The Millennium Falcon is great because it has evolved in its own way. And in our movie, you learn more about the Falcon. You get we spend more time on board the Falcon, and you understand a little bit more about Han Solo as a world-class pilot.
So he ruins the Falcon.
He was a fan in his adult life. Why not when he was a kid? What the heck?
That's a good
he's a late
question.
Bloomer.
And I don't care that he's older than Star Wars. Damn it, Ron. Why weren't you a fan when you were a kid?
Well, here's a relevant question to that.
He's not
if
a real fan.
If you were told 30
then.
Years ago that you would one day be the director of a Star Wars movie, what would you have said?
I can't say that on the show.
30 years ago, I would have said that'll never happen, and you're nuts. But it's been amazing to see how the Star Wars cultural phenomenon has just grown and grown and grown and creatively continues to expand. And this is what excites me, both as a fan, but also as a director, having an opportunity to play in that sandbox and tell a story in that galaxy.
It's grown and grown and grown. And, a lot of people did that with The Last Jedi. They've grown and grown and grown.
Did he have like a shovel and a pail for the sandbox?
See, get
or
it? They,
how about
they
one of those like
nobody got my joke
shaped things that like when you put the wet sand into it and you pack it in there and then you let it go, you build a castle out of it.
The little molds.
I got
that
your joke,
good.
Eric. I was in the middle of my own.
I know.
And Lou is like completely.
It's all
Lou is
fault.
Checked out.
I'm just taking it all in.
Lou has checked out completely.
Oh, here's a good one. Describe Kira. In five words.
Five words to describe Kira, played by Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones.
That's more than five.
Way more.
Five words. Okay. Well, strong, intelligent, ambitious, complicated, beautiful. That's five. Dangerous. That's a sixth, but dangerous.
Fail.
I don't want to give away anything.
Fail.
Can't follow directions.
He can count, but he can't follow directions. Ron, how have you gotten this far in your career without being able to follow directions?
And he's a director. How can he expect other people to follow his direction if he can't
follow his direction if he can't direct himself?
Ron. Right,
there's a bunch in here. I don't know if we want to.
If anybody's interested, there was a really good set of, not clips, but a good interview with him on Today Show on Sunday with Willie Geist.
Yeah.
Last weekend. It was pretty good to listen to.
I did not see it, but I heard it was good.
Anything in particular that stood out about it?
No, just it was about him and him growing up in the industry and kind of how he's evolved and getting to direct this as a fanboy, which was fun to listen to. But they did kind of soft sell the whole thing of him taking over after the other directors had decided to leave.
Decided to
leave?
That's not how I thought it was couched, but okay.
I would love to someday find out, Rinsler needs to write a book.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On both The Force Awakens and on The Last Jedi. And then on Solo. Much going on behind the scenes ever since it started.
We just want to know what after the fact. I don't care about it now. You know, tell me 10 years from now. Tell me 5 years from now. I'd love to hear it.
And, you know, it's less about, I know there's a lot of negativity going around in the fan base right now. But to me, it's not so much about wanting to know, like, who's to blame for this and who's to blame for that. I just want to be able to get insight on the complexity of making all of this work. I mean, this is no small task. And The sale of Lucasfilm to Disney, bringing in Kathleen Kennedy, bringing in outside directors, trying to find an outside director in the first place, and then having so many different hands in the pot. People used to complain about George Lucas being in my own words, I would describe their complaints as accusing him of being a dictator, surrounding himself by yes men. Now you don't have that anymore. You've got a lot of different people contributing, and there are aspects of which that's going to fall apart. I would love to see, not for the sake of blame, but just for insight, what's actually happened behind the scenes.
I'd love to, we've all heard rumors. We'd like to know the real story, you know? And yeah, it's messy, and we've heard messy tell-alls before on different fandoms, but you know what? Let it out. It's nothing, you know, it's not going to make us not want to watch Star Wars anymore, right? I mean,
right. That's the thing.
You know, it's just information we'd like to know about.
It's going to come out eventually.
I haven't actually watched the episode yet, but this past weekend, SNL was Donald Glover.
I did watch parts of it.
Yeah, I saw the opening. I saw the first bit, and I think maybe his first two scenes, but it looks pretty good. Pretty fun.
Looking
forward to watching the rest of it.
I have a lot of difficulty with SNL because even when they find a funny skit, they never seem to be able to figure out how to end it well. It just kind of fizzles out, and you're like, wow, that's the best you could do at the end.
But, yeah, there's a lot of skits we watch, and my wife and I kind of look at each other going, who thought that was funny?
Right.
How'd that get in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Lando one was pretty good. If you can catch that on YouTube, it's worth checking out.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Ron Howard, one of the questions in here, will the upcoming Solo movie be narrated by you like Arrested Development was? And obviously not, but have you guys seen the video? And I guess according to April, because I think they talked about this on April and Jay Have No Ideas, there's a video where they recut A New Hope as the opening of an episode of Arrested Development. Have you ever watched Arrested Development?
I never have.
No. Neither of you. You guys won't appreciate this then.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. So Ron Howard narrates the montages at the beginning of the episodes, and there's kind of an epilogue montage at the end. So it's kind of like the previously on Arrested Development sort of thing, but he narrates them. And sometimes there are things that didn't actually happen in previous episodes. They were just kind of alluded to and they're filmed for this montage for this next episode. It's wow. I was going to play part of it, but I guess the joke would be lost on you guys. You guys are killing me here.
You can play it for the fans, Eric.
Man, I could.
We don't do stuff for us. We do stuff for the listeners who are,
that's
for some reason, listen to our crap.
Wants to rule the galaxy, and the one son who had no choice but to save it.
There we go. And of course, without the visuals, it's not going to be quite the same.
Star Wars, A New Hope. Meet Darth Vader. He's upset because his daughter, Princess Leia, stole his secret plans.
I want to know what happened to the plans.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She actually did. Fortunately, Leia's droids landed in the backyard of Luke Skywalker, who found her secret message.
Who is she? She's beautiful.
She's his sister. Curious for answers about the message and the girl, Luke finds Obi-Wan in the desert.
Don't seem to remember ever owning a droid.
From a certain point of view, Obi-Wan was lying.
R2!
Good book.
R2!
Back home, Obi-Wan tells Luke about a religious cult he and Luke's father belonged to.
How did my father die?
Well...
he was a good friend.
Well...
No!
Hoping to meet his mystery girl, Luke followed Obi-Wan to find a ride across the galaxy. Not with him, but with this guy.
You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon? It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Hey, that would make an interesting movie. Go see Solo, A Star Wars Story, only in theaters May 25th.
I'm going to cut it there. That's actually only halfway through the video, though. So,
nice.
Yeah, you guys should check it out. I think it was on the Star Wars show recently. So Tim, you mentioned earlier another video.
I mentioned
video.
A lot of things earlier. It was a lot
of
nonsense.
You did, but this was one of the few relevant things that had to do with both Star Wars and you not complaining about this episode.
Okay.
So that's how people could identify. It's very easy to pick out.
Good.
Yeah.
Can you mentioned we're going to have an upcoming
Star Wars event on Random Cheddar Theater. It's going to be Star Wars Behind the Magic, where they take A New Hope and they piece it together with cut scenes and behind the scenes footage and pre-special effects shots. You get to hear David Prowse delivering the lines as Darth Vader. You get to hear Peter Mayhew speaking Chewbacca's lines before they put the growls in. Things like that.
The lines are consistently, "I am Groot."
That'd be funny. So there's a version of that that's available on YouTube. We're actually going to be screening the extended version on Random Chatter Theater. So there's that, but there was also something I found online that I don't remember where I found it, where it got linked to, but it's Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars.
But wait,
there's
a minute.
An uncensored version and a PG version of it.
If I'm a listener to Echo Base, how do I get in on this Random Chatter Theater thing, Eric?
Oh, well, I guess we could talk about that. So
you
this
probably
was
should.
Some,
that's like advertising, like, hey, here's the most awesome peanut butter in the world. Don't tell people where to find it, but it's the greatest peanut butter ever. Keep talking about it. Come
yeah,
on.
And when people start dropping like flies from peanut allergies. No more analogies, Tim.
It's
a bunch of dead audience members just moved. Okay, so Random Chatter Theater is a recent perk that we developed for our Patreon donors. Specifically, we wanted something for the bonus level and higher. So one of the things we offer to all of the Patreon donors is access to the entire Discord server. Because community is really important to us. We want people to be engaged in the community and engaged with the network hosts. Discord is really important to us. So rather than trying to put a price cap on it, we made that the very base level, entry level perk. In fact, just yesterday, we opened up even more channels to people for free who don't donate at all. If you go to randomchatter.com/discord, you don't have to donate anything. Not only do you get the main lobby, but now we've opened up the channels for all of the individual podcast shows as well. So there's like another 14 channels, I think, that just opened up. And even that's only a small fraction of the number of channels that are in the Discord server. But we wanted something that for the people who donate a little bit more, that they get something special. So if you donate $5 a month or more, you get to take part in Random Chatter Theater. Once a month, we're having a movie night where we stream a movie through a website where everybody can watch it streaming through this website. There's a closed room in this this web service, and there's a
it's
chat
BYOP,
room where people can... What's
bring
that?
Bring your own popcorn. It's BYOP.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you do have to bring your own popcorn and refreshments. We do not provide those for you, nor will they be available for sale. So, and there's a chat room. We can talk and interact through the chat during the movie. And then also, we're going to have audio through the Discord server, kind of an MST-related sort of thing going on. So some movies, we might be kind of riffing on it, making fun of it. Other movies, we might be giving insights about it, talking more seriously. And some movies, we might just kind of shut up through most of it and actually watch the movie and just participate more in
what
the text-based
chat. What fun would that be?
Chat.
Not
You'd
this
be surprised,
guy.
Lou.
I was going to say, how are we going to keep Tim
You'd
quiet?
Be surprised.
That's not going to work.
Well.
Eric will just mute me.
I don't know. I could just mute him. We don't know if Tim might show up because
the
audio channel is open to all of the staff on the network. So different people might show up for different occasions of Random Chatter Theater. And for the premium subscribers, we're letting them join the staff in the audio channel as well. So the premiere event for this is going to be this Saturday, May 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be Star Wars Behind the Magic. But as I was looking for different things that we could cover, I found a bunch of other Star Wars gems, if you will. that at some point we could do. There's this Arrested Development thing. It's only about 3 minutes long. There's the Star Wars Holiday Special. The Riff Tracks version of it is very cool.
Would you say that those gems might fit on a giant glove?
Wrong show.
Oh.
Wrong show. Sorry. Nice try, though. Nice try. And they're both owned by Disney, so, you know. But Star Wars, Nothing But Star Wars is about an hour and 45 minutes of collections of SNL skits and interviews from back in the 70s and really bad French commercials and knockoffs or Japanese commercials for Chewbacca chewing gum or like horrible, I've never seen this things. Before. I hadn't either, but then I was watching it last night. I got through probably almost an hour of it, and I realized that several of these clips I had actually seen at the Alamo Draft House before watching The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So these have gotten around somewhere, but somebody went and compiled like the entire internet's worth of ridiculous Star Wars spoofs and goofiness and put it together in a video.
So, that's fun. That's a lot of fun to do too.
And it's movie length. It's an hour and 45 minutes. Maybe we'll do that as kind of a random chatter theater bonus event. Just kind of more of a hangout. Really long bonus segment.
I like bonus segments.
Did you see what I did there, Lou?
I actually got Eric to do the entire Patreon pitch in the middle of the episode.
You did. And he's not going to complain about it being longer than the music is for the outgoing, you know, track.
Yeah. Well, no, because this was actually a segment that had to do with content.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's how brilliant I am.
You're so brilliant, Tim.
I wouldn't go that far.
You're so brilliant, Tim. I got nothing else. I don't know. I've strung the song along as far as I could, I think. I mean, other than playing more Ron Howard segments.
You guys ready for a fun fact?
Yes, sure. Please. Have you not been paying attention? Yes, we are very, very ready for a fun fact, Tim. Anything at this point, even like a mediocrely boring fact, I think we'd be okay with at this point.
So what movie did Palpatine first appear in?
See, is this like a trick question because he didn't appear? Or? As Palpatine right away, he appeared as Darth Sidious or the Emperor.
The Emperor. We're talking about him in his whole self here. His whole self.
We talking chronologically in the movies or like year of release?
Release order.
Okay.
Which film?
So he first appeared as a hologram in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, Empire Strikes Back. Who played the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back?
The guy with all the little worms on his face.
Clive something, wasn't it?
It was...
Clive Owen.
No. That's a completely different person, different Clive franchise. Barker. Also a different person. No, it was originally played. So Ian McDiarmid actually did not take the role until Return of the Jedi.
Right. I knew that.
In Empire Strikes Back, the Palpatine the Emperor that we saw was played by Elaine Baker, who at the time was the wife of Star Wars makeup designer Rick Baker. I don't think it was her voice.
I had never heard that. I thought it was Clive somebody.
That may have been the voice, because I don't.
Oh, maybe.
Because I don't think that was her voice.
Didn't sound like a female voice.
That would be kind of scary. But that's, yeah.
I think so what was scary was how bad the hologram was. It literally looked like, and I didn't know who it was that actually played. I knew it wasn't Ian McDiarmid. But I didn't know who it was that actually played the Emperor in the original version of Empire Strikes Back, but the graphics were horrible.
Yeah, okay, Clive Revel was the voice.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking, yep.
Now, it got Marjorie, I don't want to say fixed, but it got fixed in the special editions.
Yes.
All right. It got refilmed with Ian McDiarmid. But yeah.
So that's it. That's all I got.
Cool. Well, that's a good fun fact. I got another fun fact for you. Our next episode of Echo Base
is going to be so much better than this.
Incredible. It's going to be incredible. But, you know, we've talked before about expectations on Echo Base. Specifically in regards to
expectations. We're setting the bar really low.
Yes, exactly. You get your expectations too high and you walk into the Phantom Menace and you realize that it didn't meet your expectations. We're setting the bar so low with this episode.
I liked Phantom Menace.
That explains a lot about you, Tim. So the next episode of Echo Base, though, is going to be stellar. It's going to be incredible. You will not believe how much you're going to enjoy the next episode of Echo Base.
Why?
Compared to this.
Yeah.
Why?
Exactly. Why?
Yeah.
Well, A, because we're awesome.
Sell me and B, on it, Eric.
Because, huh?
Sell me on it. Tell me why it's going to be better.
That would be a spoiler. We are a spoiler-free show here, Tim. You're just going to have to tune in. We have some feedback.
Is this feedback?
Don't let your enthusiasm overwhelm you guys.
This episode is.
You're excited.
Wait, feedback in this episode already? Wow. It was that bad. The feedback's coming before it's even released.
Wow. So Matt wrote in via email, and Matt, I apologize for including your feedback in the worst episode of Echo Base ever. This is episode 144. We've done 144 episodes of Echo Base, and I think this is definitely the worst one. So I apologize, Matt, that we're including your feedback in your question in this episode.
Way to make Matt feel horrible. Matt, thank you so much for writing in. We very much appreciate your feedback because we love our fans and we love interacting with our fans. That's the kind of reception you should get. Not this, oh, I'm sorry we featured you on the worst freaking episode ever. Come on.
Weren't you the one who's been complaining about this entire episode at every opportunity? All of a sudden, you're this beacon of hope and brightness throughout the galaxy, Tim?
I you could actually say that I am a new hope.
I'll do you one better. Matt, congratulations, because due to the fact that your feedback is being included in this episode of Echo Base, you are now the best part of this show. You have participated vicariously in an episode of Echo Base where you were the shining highlight of the entire episode. So congratulations, Matt. See, Tim, that's how you do it.
I bow to you on that one, Eric. That's okay. Well done.
So here we go. Matt says, first, I love the podcast. Now, keep in mind, Matt had not heard this episode yet.
That's true.
Okay. All right.
We'll see first, how his opinion changes.
Exactly.
Matt, let us know, buddy. Just get a little follow-up.
We're
going to
get another piece of feedback from
him. Circle back on this and let us know.
About that episode you included me on. First, I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Again, he hasn't heard this one. And thanks for making my morning, quote, get ready routine a bit more rebellious.
That sounds seriously inappropriate, man. I don't know that I can sign
Tim
on to that.
Tim doesn't condone any kind of inappropriate behavior.
Man, I mean, thanks, buddy, but I don't want to be part of your, quote, get ready routine and being rebellious. That's thank you. I'm flattered. I don't know what
else
to say.
I don't think that's what he meant, Tim. But,
Tim is not a team player, is what it boils down to.
What else?
Matt continues, despite Tim, I have a question about the state of the resistance at the end of The Last Jedi. In watching the movie, it seems pretty clear the resistance is down to just those on the Falcon. Rian Johnson says clearly in the special features of the Blu-ray, however, that the resistance at that time is down to 2,000. Which is it? Or where are all those other people?
First of all, that's a pretty exact number.
We're not done. He also says, thanks again for the consistently entertaining content.
Nice.
If you answer my question, I promise not to send Eric a Jar Jar poster for Christmas. Actually, if I'd gotten a Jar Jar poster for Christmas, that would have doubled my Christmas presents last year. So,
ouch.
Wow. Yeah.
But we're not even here to talk about your Christmas presents here.
No, I'm waiting for you to go on about those. Is it 2,000? Is it the number on the Falcon? What is it?
Well, first of all, 2,000 is like a very exact number to say, well, there's exact. But anyway.
That's Ryan Johnson. Maybe he counted them.
Maybe he counted.
He did.
Okay, sound off. Starting you over there in the helmet and the, you know, by the side hatch door. Sound off.
199, 200. Yeah. Then you lose count at 1,734.
Oh, just, then you have just to start at 1,700 and
he
go
gets
from
up
there,
to 1,998. He's like, we need to. Okay, you two guys walking down the street. No, come over here. Yeah, we're having a group. Come on.
You two
come
droids.
On. You're with us now. You're with the resistance. Come on. There's our 2,000. We're good.
No, you know, I'm sure there are others around the galaxy that just weren't part of this particular group that the film followed. So,
right.
You know, I mean, the group that the film followed were definitely the core leadership. You had a lot of their resources, that kind of stuff. But, you know, there were other folks. Obviously, as the film went on, there were folks who at least they hoped or thought were sympathizers to the resistance, which is that communication that they hoped to get some response from that they sent out from Crait.
They said it was received, but nobody responded. Yeah. Yep.
You know, some of those folks may be labeled as quote resistance. Some may be sympathizers, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there definitely are some other people, and we're going to see how that works out in episode 9.
Look at Rebels.
That's the most serious conversation I've had this entire podcast.
Yeah,
I know. We're very but proud now, of you.
What if we find out in episode 9 that these guys, you know, Tim said they were the core. What if you find out they weren't? Maybe there's some other group that was hanging back that has all kinds of extra firepower. They got the message late. They're going to come in now and say, hey, we're here. We got big ships and we're ready to, you know, kick some butt.
Yeah, they're going to look at Crait and say, where is everybody?
Yeah, because it actually wasn't, Leia and Ackbar that were in charge. It was actually Therm Scissor Punch, and he's over on some other planet somewhere.
He's not hanging out near Crait. I mean, come on. No, seriously, though, if you look at Rebels, they were a cell. They were a small cell on Lothal. They weren't, you didn't see the entire rebellion right then. And even when they joined up with the fleet and the leadership that was on the fleet, that wasn't the entirety of the rebellion either. I have to imagine the resistance is pretty much the same sort of thing. It's spread out. You've got different cells. We're not seeing all of them.
You know, a rebellion is different than resistance, though. So, you know, a rebellion is, you know, these guys are in it. I mean, it's further along. Resistance is just, you know, hey, we're really not in open revolt. But, you know, from the movie and seeing it without listening to the stuff in the special, I mean, in the commentary and stuff, about there being 2,000 people, you know, roughly, you know, I saw them, you know, gather. They had the fleet. They had, you know, the command ship, and they're getting picked off and whittling down, and now we're just down to a few people on the Falcon. And that's, walking out of the movie, that's how I felt was the entirety of the resistance.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you in one regard. For example, the shot of Leia looking down at the screen after they destroyed the dreadnought. Leia looks down at the screen and sees all the icons of all of these destroyed ships. And she's got this big frowny face on. And as the riff tracks, guy says, wow, I guess she really doesn't like icons. And by the way, the riff tracks for The Last Jedi, very cool. Just came out on the 4th. You guys should pick it up. So when you look at that, that's not a fleet. That's like a squad and a half. There were like 8 bombers. I think there were 3 or 4 X-Wings that survived and maybe 2 A-Wings. I know Tally's A-Wing and I think one other. But if you tally up all of the ships on that display that both survived and didn't, that's not a fleet. I mean, call that a fleet would really be stretching it. That's...
Did you tally?
And it's more than a squad, too, but it's like a couple of
right,
squads.
When they took off and they were in that, you know, O.J. Simpson-style chase.
Right. Right.
You know, there was the large, you know, Mon Calamari ship, and then there was several of the ships that were with them that got picked off. Mm-hmm. You know, a fleet of sort. You know, a small fleet, you know. But I mean,
it can't be the fleet. You had a cruiser, a medical frigate, and one other capital ship. That is not, I mean,
no.
Leia was still a politician, and politicians have those sitting around in their garage. I mean,
but there was nothing in the movie that led us to believe there was anything else but that fleet.
I never assumed that was the whole thing.
Okay.
Look at the Battle of Yavin.
It's just an assumption.
That wasn't the entire rebellion.
Since that's their core leadership, though, I would expect that that's the majority of it. I don't think that there's much more else sitting out there. When you look at particularly these capital ships and the number of people that it takes to operate a capital ship, well, that's 2,000 people. So I would say there's just scraps of little resources here and there. I don't think that there's anything that's like hugely significant left.
I think that because they didn't know the nature of what the First Order was going to do and when and where, I believe they spread out the resources they had. That's why the fleet that we saw was so small, because they needed to spread it out into various different areas of the galaxy because they didn't know where the First Order was going to come in from.
Could be.
I don't think they pulled everything in one spot. I think they intentionally spread it out, and that's why it looked so thin.
That would have been smart. And when you look at, I mean, essentially guerrilla warfare and that kind of stuff, when you have nothing but a small force, you really do have to spread that out, because if there's one strike against you that's successful, then you're done. You're wiped out.
That makes sense. And that's why cells don't know about each other, so they can't compromise the rest of the group. But, you know, wasn't it in Rogue One where they, you know, the first movie that we had subtitles as to where we're going for planets, didn't they say Yavin 4 and it was the Rebellion headquarters?
The White House, well, rather the Pentagon is the military headquarters for the United States, but we've got ships and fleets all over the planet.
Right.
That doesn't mean that that's where the majority of our personnel
is. Yeah, but, you know, still.
And that's probably the best analogy given this entire episode.
Thank you.
Almost as good as my peanut butter analogy.
Only with fewer people dying. Well, maybe not.
Oh, Lord.
You know, it is a good point, though, Lou, what you said, that there's a difference between a rebellion and a resistance. There are logistical differences as well. And I don't know if that affects. Yeah. That might affect this answer. I don't know.
But, you know, I don't remember anything in the original movie saying that that was just part of the resistance or, you know, part of the rebellion. I had thought that was the entirety of it.
I'd have to think that there were a lot more people pissed off across the galaxy than what they could fit in that little command center at the temple. I don't know. Yeah, and keep in mind, the special edition added a lot more ships.
Rebellion Alliance headquarters, or Rebel Alliance headquarters. So is the headquarters, maybe not everything, but that is the headquarters is where the heavy hitters are. It's where the majority of our group was.
Matt, look at all the controversy you caused. This thanks a bunch for writing this in, Matt.
I mean, he did get the show back on track.
He did. We're talking about Star Wars now.
Right.
Now, like, all this infighting and disagreement. And...
so, I mean, well, just I guess
agree
if I had
with us, Tim.
If I answer that,
actually, it's
that,
Lou,
you know,
that's not agreeing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're totally on the Falcon team, right? Team Falcon.
You guys have. No. I think, you know, if I had to look at this and answer this question, I would say that the 2,000 number is probably more accurate, that it can't be just the 35 people left in the Falcon or 20 people left in the Falcon. So it'll make for a very small resistance, and we could squash them with, you know, one hand grenade thrown in the airlock.
Right.
And it makes more sense to go forward now where they're going to meet up with other parts of the resistance.
I will give you this, Lou. You are definitely correct in that the movie did not give us any reason to believe that there's more out there other than Leia's comment about, you know, call the different cells in the outer rim and see who shows up. I think a lot of people assumed that because nobody did show up, there must not be anybody else left out there. I never came to that assumption. I came to the assumption that they were still trying to get the whole family in the car and get the car backed out of the driveway by the time the Battle of Crete was done. But yeah, they didn't explain
that, No, Eric, I can't accept that anymore.
Very well.
That was a good... No, I like that one, yeah. No. Trying to get the kids buckled in.
No.
Peanut butter. Come help us from the other end of the galaxy. You have 47 minutes to get here.
Wait a minute. No one showed up. Why haven't they showed up yet?
Anyway.
These people were not patient didn't really clarify while their lives were at risk.
They clarified it about as well as they clarified why we should feel like Snoke is some big important character.
He is, isn't he?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Matt, thank you. Glad that you had loved the podcast.
Thanks a bunch, Matt.
You had wanted us to keep up the great work. Sorry to have disappointed you. Sorry about that. And I don't know. I got nothing. That's it.
There's a bright star in the center of this podcast. Matt's email was it.
It's Matt. And he's not even here.
And then it was blown up by the Death Star.
He's going to feel very happy, though. I'm proud that he was able to resurrect this show and bring it back from the brink.
Without Matt, we would be lost. He was our only hope.
Well, like now you're really building the guy up. I mean, not that he doesn't deserve it. All of our fans do.
Well, exactly. So, Lou, where can our fans contact us to
tell us how great this episode was and give us feedback on doing more shows like this? They can certainly do that by sending us an email.
Lou at randomchatter.com.
Yes. That's LOU.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happened really fast. I didn't see that coming.
Jeez. It got dark fast.
Wow. No, the real email address you want to send to is echobase@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us online. No, you can't. We actually just turned everything off. Sorry. You can find us online. Twitter is the best place for us. You can hit us up specifically to this show at Echo Base Podcast. You can also reach the network as a whole at Random Chatter. Lou, you have a brand new Twitter handle, which we keep saying like week after week now that it's brand new. Eventually it won't be, but it's still shiny. It smells like new car.
Yeah, it does. Yep. And you can find me there at Lou Skywalker without the E.
Did your wife change her last name too? Or
No, she would never do that.
Okay.
Yeah. On my own here.
Okay. Eric, how about you and your boring Twitter handle?
My boring Twitter handle is still Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE.
Very good.
Maybe Matt could help me find a new Twitter handle.
I think your expectations of Matt are a little high now.
I know, he's already saved the show once. You don't need to put a lot of pressure on him now.
That is a lot of pressure. He's going to have a breakdown.
I've got you two here. And you guys haven't helped me out at all with the new Twitter name. So no, Matt, I mean, he's at least higher than that bar of expectation. So I don't feel that bad about, I don't feel like I'm putting too much on him.
Matt has actually contributed more to this show than I have.
That's very true. That's very true.
Look, I'm self-aware. Yeah. I'm totally good with it. You can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. You can also find us on Instagram at Outer Rim Network and find all of our shows at randomchatter.com.
So this is the part of the show where usually
we ask people to
leave reviews. If you wanted to take a week off from leaving us reviews, we would understand. Everybody needs a break sometimes. I mean, you really do. And I think our audience, you guys are so awesome. You have deserved this break. You've earned this break from leaving us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever else you find our podcast. And we appreciate you so much. We don't want you to get overworked with helping support us and spreading the word to other people. If you need to take a week off, we understand. We really do. Now, that being said, if you do want to help support the network, we could obviously use it. We need some help here. Obviously. So if you go over to randomchatter.com/Patreon, you'll find more information there about how to help support the network in a way that we give back to you, but that we give meaningful things back to you. Like 143 really good podcasts out of 144. Just saying. So,
Patreon contribution will support every other show on this network except for Echo Base this week.
This week. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're a little on the fence, if this is your first, episode of Echo Base, we're really sorry. And if,
how
if
unfortunate.
That makes you, yeah, if that makes you kind of want to test the waters a little bit first, you can go to randomchatter.com/discord and get into our Discord community for free. And again, as I said earlier in the episode, we did open up the various different show related channels. So there's a little bit more to do now for the people who are not donors, because we want to make it inclusive to as many people as we can. We want to get conversations going and get feedback about the shows. We've already kind of formed a community there, and I think we're really happy about that. But we would like to see that community grow, and we would like you to become a part of it. So, randomchatter.com/Discord. Check us out there. And also, we would love any support you're willing to give us at Patreon.
I can't believe it's actually been an hour of this crap. My God.
It's not been that bad.
Well, this is the end of the show. I'm not really selling anything at this point. Except people are like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, if you're still listening at this point, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, they're stuck with this as long as, wow.
Yeah, there are no more surprises at this point.
Thank you.
Now, Eric has totally changed things up here. And again, we haven't heard the new music. So Eric's like promising new music. We don't know that this new music actually exists. But I'm supposed to tell you that the music you hear on this podcast is the Pegboard Nerds remix of the Imperial March by Cell Dweller. Is it the Pegboard Nerds or is it Cell Dweller? Which is it, Eric?
That depends on how you interpret remixes of music. The creator, the person who created the original thing being remixed, or is the creator the person who is doing the remix?
No, this is a philosophical discussion that we are not getting into, and I'm ending it right here.
You asked.
No.
You asked.
Lou, would
come
you
on,
do
you
something
in.
Good in this
I
episode?
I am
going to
close the blast door, and turn off the recording, and space everybody. Good night.